You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
A new mural by Liberation Library Aotearoa has been unveiled on Edinburgh Street, just off Karangahape Road. Inspired by artist and producer Chris McBride and event producer and consultant Tigilal Ness, Ness has travelled together to the Black Panther Party's 50th anniversary celebrations in Oakland, California in 2016. The mural project seeks to honour the historical presence of the Polynesian Panthers and the Black Panther Party and social justice issues they stand for. And checking in with the past through such groups, as well as historical events like the Dawn Raids in Aotearoa, these murals also speak to the current and future hopes for the well-being of Pacifica in Aotearoa. The artists involved in this project are Numanga Tini, Mackenzie, Tuasieke Taihia, Huriana Kōpeke Te Aho, Simon Andreas, and Chris McBride. I had a kōrero with Chris McBride and Tigilal Ness about the project.
Kia ora, my name is Chris McBride. I'm an artist, curator and activist, and my role with the mural has been to coordinate and to manage the process with our team of artists.
Whakalofala here, my name is Tigilal Ness. I am a member of the Polynesian Panther Party Legacy Trust, and my involvement in this mural is through Creative New Zealand, as well as putting forward support and ideas for the creation of the artwork.
Beautiful. I wanted to start by asking you guys about how this project kind of came about, particularly as some of the artists involved in this new mural were also involved in the creation of Whakaako Kia Whakaora, Educate to Liberate mural, which is at the car park at the top of Karangahape near Gundry Street. Would you be able to speak to how the Liberation Library Aotearoa came into fruition?
Yeah, it was when Tingi and myself and several others went up to the Black Panther 50th anniversary in 2016, and we were super impressed by the range of public art, political public art, on the walls, particularly in Oakland. It was pretty inspiring to see this work and the massive size of these works. And we decided then that we really wanted to start looking into the idea of producing public art that had a story to it. And that was really...
Yeah, to kind of add on to what you were saying there, it was inspired by your trip to Oakland for the Black Panthers' 50th anniversary. And I guess in this way, the first mural and this one as a continuation has seeked to kind of honour the historical presence of the Polynesian Panther Party and the Black Panther Party. And I guess like on that line of thought, how do the Black Panther Party of America and the Polynesian Panthers connect?
We... we're inspired by the Black Panthers of America, being young Pacific Island teenagers in the early 70s. We were inspired by their community activism and what they were doing for the black people, black Americans. So we took on a lot of their programs, community development, one of them which was Educate to Liberate. And many years later, as part of this project here, Whakaako Kia Whakaora, just translated Educate to Liberate into Māori. So our connection with the Black Panthers started from back then in the 70s. Eventually we met with Emery Douglas, who was the Minister of Culture for the Black Panthers. And in 2016, like Chris was saying, we went over there to celebrate their 50th anniversary. And when we came back to Aotearoa, New Zealand, it just happened that our 50th anniversary was coming up in 2021. So we used that as a platform to create these murals inspired by our journey over to California.
I think the other thing too is that we, in that first instance, we had also had communications with Emery. We'd become friends with Emery over the years since his first visit here in 2009 for the as the Elam Artist in Residence, International Artist in Residence.
Mm.
And it was essential to have his input into the first mural, Whakaako Kia Whakaora. And we were in lockdown. We had all of this. I think we had one meeting of the artists in person, and with Emery online on Zoom. And you know, from there we established the design, the kaupapa of it as well, which was really looking into that connection between the Black Panthers and the Polynesian Panthers, between activism, between the various rights that both organisations were championing for their peoples at the time. You know, the food, law, housing, etc. So I think when people view that mural, they will be able to see all those sort of things. We have a website which does speak to that as well, liberationlibrary.nz, and that we'll have a new part to the new mural that we've the new Dawn mural that we're just working on now.
Beautiful. And of course, this project is a really awesome amalgamation of art and activism. What role do you think art has in activism?
Art is a really essential part to play in activism. I think it's one of those means of getting the message out. And what we need to look at is how we get the message out these days. We get it out through social media and so on, but we still need the message to be on the walls.
Well, what I saw in at the Black Panthers' 50th anniversary was this quote that art moves the community forward.
Mm.
And it does just that. It's an expression and it's a voice, a creative one rather than a confronting one where people can walk away if they want to, or look at it and ask questions. Yeah, art is that. It's part of our culture as humans telling stories. If you look back, you know, the cave paintings and that, they all tell stories. Well, today we do murals and inspired by actions, we create stories on walls. Mm.
Yeah, beautiful. And in the last mural, there were symbols and depictions of Polynesian Panthers, art and activism in Aotearoa, the 1981 Springbok Tour, the Black Panthers, Papatua Nuku, protests and community. What are some of the symbols, groups or events that are depicted in this new mural on Edinburgh Street?
Okay, so our premise for this one was to look at the migration of the Pacific peoples and the enticement of Pacific peoples to come to Aotearoa, New Zealand, to work in factories, to work in community, to work in the hospitals, and how that transpired from being a welcoming aspect to our Pacific neighbours, but turned into something that was quite disastrous with the Dawn raids and so on. So what we had is that is this idea of people arriving almost on a conveyor belt into the workforce, because that's really what it was happening. It was a conveyor belt to working in the fishing industry. Crown Lynn, for example, was a big employer of Pacifica and Māori, and meatworks as well. So, but the next stage of that was addressing the whole area of people being overstayers, or deciding that they were going to be overstayers. And I think Tingi, you might like to talk a little bit about that in terms of
Okay, so This mural was part of the apology from the government on the actions committed in the 70s, mainly the Dawn raids.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, government organisations, New Zealand On Air, Creative New Zealand, and Ministry of Culture and Heritage collaborated together to create a fund called the New Dawn Raids Initiative to fund any form of art, music, performance, digital, which included this mural, to tell the story and to remember the 50 years of trauma that people during the Dawn raids endured.
Mm.
So as part of the apology, a certain amount, quite a large amount of money was put forward to help tell the stories. And from our Panther perspective, it was part of the healing which we wanted. At that time, some people in the community were calling for reparation. They wanted money. Some wanted amnesty, and we wanted education. We wanted scholarships.
Mm.
We applied and during this time for at least 100 scholarships for students who we felt were pushing the envelope on the Dawn raids and racism in this country, activism. Knowing that we'd only get about 10 scholarships,
mm.
which we did get in the end as part of the government apology. But for this mural, it was part of that funding, and it was called the New Dawn Raids Initiative.
I think following on from that, within the mural, we've got the depiction of arresting a young man who was accused of stealing some combs, and I think that there was a story about when he was arrested, a lecturer from Auckland University then took a pen from Auckland University with the University of Auckland on it and went into the police station and said, "Arrest me, I've just stolen something from my employer," you know, just to make a statement about, you know, the stupidity of that arrest. But that was all taking place in the light of the Dawn raids and so on. So one of the things with both Whakaakokia Whakaora and New Dawn is that we use colour as a way in terms of enticing people into the story, and it's kind of slightly disarming that they can see something. Like Tingy was saying, they can walk away from it, but first of all, they see something that's really colourful and bright, and it's an enticement into coming to view what this is all about. And I think then people start to realise, okay, this is something real. This is something that provides a lot of storytelling. But one of the things that we really want to make sure that happens is that we have a sense of hope at the end of it, that mm. people are transporting themselves out of that mamai, out of that the worry of that. We're not there yet, you know, we've still got problems.
Mm. Yeah, no, really good to hear about that, thank you. And I'm glad you spoke about the University of Auckland pen. I saw that and I was really intrigued as to what that was about, so I was going to ask. I also wanted to ask about the collaborative nature of this project. It involved 5 artists: Numangatingi, Mackenzie, Tuasiki, Taihia, Huriana, Kofiki, Te Aho, and Simon Andreas, and yourself, Chris. But it's also been deeply intertwined with the Polynesian Panthers and yourself, Tingi Lo. What did that process of collaboration look like?
It's a really nice thing, I think, that we've got going. We're not an ego driven group of people, and I think we manage to sit down, we talk through what it is that we want to depict What is the story that we want to be telling here? We work to our strengths. So we're really, really concentrating on, you know, who has the skills to do this or that. And in this particular instance with this mural, we decided that we wanted to have some people who looked real to some extent. And then we also used silhouettes as a device for adding extra people into the mix. In doing so, we also looked at Hiriana's work and made the decision that style would be driven by her drawing, and that made a real sense of continuity to the thing. But to the mural, but each part had its own. Everybody had a input into the who and what we were going to be depicting in the story. So right at the beginning, and this is an interesting part of this mural, is that it's a right side to left side telling the story. So if you really want to view this in its entirety, you go to the right-hand side of it and start there.
Mm-hmm.
And at that part, you've got a connection. You've got, the Ngāti Whātua connection with Apihai Takawa, who was the person who gave the 3,000 acres to create Auckland City. And that's a deliberate connection to Māori and Pacifica as being an entity together. We chose to have several of the islands where the main groups of people were coming from: Samoa, Niue, Tonga, Cook Islands, Fiji, Tokelau. But we also added in Hawaiki because that's where the whole of the Pacific comes from.
Mm.
Some of the boats, the planes, the types of planes, the Catalinas. There's been several people that have come up and they said, "Oh, my mum came on the Catalina. You know, my grandfather came on the Tōwhua." It's kind of a interesting way of storytelling. So the collaborative process is one where we would meet. First we met at my place, and then we met at a cafe and ended up at the library, because the library had good resources as well to be able to look at other ideas that we could use. But it was sitting around a table, doing some drawing, adding them all together, bringing the having myself and then Simon to pull the artwork together on Photoshop and then to work together to change things. You know, so we went through probably about 11 iterations of the actual artwork. And at that point where we were satisfied with it, then we were ready to go. I want to say that we were really grateful for Samson Corporation to provide us with the wall. They are the owners also of the building that has the Whakaako Kia Whakaora artwork on it as well. And there were problems with the wall, and they had to reclad it completely, which meant that we had a really perfect wall to paint on. It was just smooth as, which was really good. But again, that was a collaborative process as well. So we had to project onto the wall at nighttime. We were subjected to all sorts of other problems apart from the wall having to be rebuilt. We had weather. Really problematic weather, and I think we managed, and we this painting was done in about 10 to 12 days of actual painting work.
Wow.
As well, so it was quite good. But we had also really major support from APS, who are building a company who did the wall, but also doing some other refurbishment nearby, and they provided us with a lot of support with ladders and and scaffolding and so on, which they took up morning and night, put up every day. And we shared a space with them as well. So it was a really nice, different collaboration that came about in terms of the working group that were doing the building and the painters, and the nice, really good exchanges between the crews.
I was interested to hear a bit more about the choice of location for these murals. They're both just off or on Karangahape Road. What is it about Karangahape Road that felt like it was the right place for these?
Karangahape Road was, back in those days, our internet highway, as Reverend Alec Toliafua of the Polynesian Panthers termed it, was our internet highway, where a lot of our Pacific Island family whānau met, exchanged and saw each other. And also on the corner there was where a lot of our protest marches began. We'd gather on the corner of Ponsonby Road and Karangahape Road and march along Karangahape Road down Queen Street, for different protests, starting perhaps with the Te Reo in September 1972. Mm. We organised with Ngāti Matua to march along Karangahape Road, beginning on those corners.
Mm.
So a very poignant part of the city, Auckland. Also to where the mural is now, this latest one, which tells the journey.
Mm.
The first one on Gundry Street was the connection with the Black Panthers and the Polynesian Panthers. This second one here is the journey of Pacific Island people and what happened to them when they arrived here. The focal point of this one, opposite the Pacific Island Congregational Church, was the reason why it was there. Because that church, PICC, was where all the Pacific Island people came and gathered and was a focal point. Also during the Dawn Raids, it was part of our defence, I guess, where people would go for help. Yeah, it was mainly because of that. Mm. It was where the PICC church was.
That was Chris McBride and Tingi Loudness speaking to me about the latest Liberation Library Aotearoa mural on Edinburgh Street, just off Karangahape Road. You can visit their website, panthers.liberationlibrary.nz, for more information.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.